This morning I feel from the Lord to speak to us about new covenant responsibility. New covenant responsibility. Now I want to go to two passages of scriptures. I want to go to Galatians chapter 5 and 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Galatians chapter 5 and 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read two verses of scripture. I'm going to read verse 16, and then we'll go down to verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Go with me to verse 25. Verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to look at the first two verses. Verse 1 says, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Let's pray this morning. Father, I know this is your word to our hearts this morning, God. Father, I have a confidence in my heart that, Lord, you have established my thoughts and directed my heart to these truths for this time you have ordained for today, Lord. Father, I'm not always sure why you give specific messages at specific times, but I know, Lord, there's something on your heart today, for this hour, this moment. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give us hearts to hear, Lord, the things that you're going to speak to us today. Father, help man not to be a stumbling block. Help them, Lord, to be able to look past my voice, to look past this man standing behind the pulpit, and to truly hear the voice of the Father, to truly hear anointed truth to their heart today, God. Lord, I know you've been speaking these things to my heart. And Lord, we're all in this together. We're all growing together. We're all going deeper in the things of the Lord together. So Father, as a church, Lord, would you just speak to us. And what you do in our heart and what you do in our life, Lord, we give you all honor. We give you all glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2, the Bible says that King Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In other words, that simply means, one of the things that means is that King Asa made right choices. Capture that, because that's what we're talking about today. King Asa made right choices, that he knew the things that were right, and he made the choice to do right. He made the choice to honor God with right choices. And the Lord gave me this passage of scripture to really encourage my heart. It was a time that I needed encouragement from the Lord, and the Lord spoke this, led me to this passage of scripture, and the Lord just spoke very simply, and he said, "Tim, I see it when you make right choices. When you're confronted with a choice, and you have to make a choice, and you know what the right choice is, and you make that choice to do what is right, Tim, I want you to know that I see that. And most of all, what I want you to see is that in your heart, I know it's in your heart to honor me." You see, brothers and sisters, walking in right choices and walking in obedient choices, it really defines what is in the heart. And when we're a person that makes godly choices and we make obedient choices and we make right choices, it really shows that in the heart we desire to live a life that honors God. And God sees that. He sees our heart. It doesn't fall on blind eyes. And beloved, we need to be encouraged by that today. That when we're a person that walks in right choices, obedient choices, God sees our heart and He sees the desire in our heart to live a life that honors Him. Beloved, every day we have to make choices. Every day a Christian has to make choices. We have to make the choice of what are we going to look at with our eyes. We have to make the choice, what are we going to listen to with our ears. We have to make the choice, what are we going to speak with our mouths? Beloved, every day we have to make the choice to be honest people. We have to make the choice to be truthful people. Every day, we have to make choices. And God sees when we honor Him with our choices. It doesn't fall upon blind eyes. Now, I want to say this. In this new covenant, God has done everything when it comes to securing our salvation. He has done everything when it comes to securing our position in Christ. He has done everything in securing our acceptance with Him. Beloved, our position is in Christ. We are accepted with Christ. That's a sealed deal. God's done everything. Yet we do have to ask the question, as New Covenant Christians, do we have a responsibility in this New Covenant? And the answer is yes, we do. And our responsibility in this new covenant is to walk in right choices. To walk in obedient choices. That's our responsibility. Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Paul is talking about choices. See, God's not going to take over our will and force us not to walk in the uncleanliness of the flesh. That's a choice that we have to make daily, and we do have to make the choice. Again, Paul says in Romans, he says, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield your members as instruments of cleanliness. When Paul uses the word yield there, he's talking about the power of choice. He's saying, you know what the right thing to do is, and you have the power in you to do the right thing, and you need to make the choice to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and make those right choices. Beloved, we have to daily make the choice not to walk after the uncleanliness of the flesh. We have to daily make the choice to be truthful and honest people. We have to daily make the choice to do the right things we know are right. When we are confronted by a decision and we know the right thing to do, we have to make the choice. It's all about choice to do what is right. And here's the thing. When we make the choice to do what we know is right, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. The Holy Spirit empowers us to walk out our choices. You see, in this new covenant, the Holy Spirit lives in the life of the believer. That's what the new covenant is. The Holy Spirit comes and He indwells the life of the believer. And because He indwells His life, He empowers us. He is actually the one who empowers us to believe God. He's the one who empowers us to trust God. And He's the one that empowers us to obey God. Amen. Listen, we all have the power in us to make right choices. We all have the power in us to be led by the Spirit and to obey the leading of the Spirit in our choices. We all have the power within us. Beloved, listen, the new covenant does not excuse disobedience. It's not an excuse for disobedience. In fact, it's just the opposite. The new covenant empowers us to love God with all of our hearts and to be led by the Spirit and to obey the leading of the Spirit. That's the power of the new covenant. The new covenant was never a mindset to look at disobedience and take disobedience lightly. It was never meant for that. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to come into our life and to reveal the love of God in our hearts. And to draw the love of God in our hearts. And in that, to walk in a place of loving trust and obedience to the Lord. It was never a mindset to lightly esteem disobedience. In fact, it's the opposite. It is the power to love God and obey God. Amen. I think about times of temptation. You know, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There had no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. But with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So what Paul is saying is this. Paul is saying in every temptation, there is a slot of time. Sometimes it's a large slot. Sometimes it's a very little slot. But in every temptation, there is a slot of time where the Holy Spirit will come to your heart and say, "I'm giving you the strength to walk away, so walk away." Every temptation. There will be a moment, maybe it's a large moment, maybe it's a very small moment, that there will be a time the Holy Spirit will come to the heart and say, "You know what the right thing to do here is. And I'm giving you the power to do the right thing, so do the right thing." And when we make the choice to obey, the Holy Spirit empowers that choice. See, beloved, the Bible says to be led by the Spirit. And in my walk with God, I have learned being led by the Spirit has everything to do with choices. Every day we are confronted by choices, but the Holy Spirit is that still small voice behind us that says, "This is the way, this is direction, this is the right thing to do, walk in it." And when we make the choice to obey, to do the right thing, the Holy Spirit comes with all the power that we need to obey God. So our responsibility, do we have a responsibility in this new covenant? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And that's to make right choices, to make obedient choices. Beloved, there are many new covenant Christians who live in absolute spiritual poverty and powerlessness because instead of doing what they know is right, they continually make bad choices. They continually make disobedient choices, and so we live in spiritual poverty because of it. Amen. You know, we can talk about being victorious and triumphant, and we are victorious and triumphant in Christ. But what I feel the Lord saying is this, listen, when you know the right thing to do, but we continually make disobedient choices, you're going to live in spiritual poverty. New covenant Christians, you're going to live in spiritual poverty. You're going to live in spiritual powerlessness because you can't separate victory from right choices. Amen. Well, some of you are looking sour at me today. But I love you. But I think this is something we need to hear. Because we can get in a mindset in this new covenant way that really lightly esteems disobedience. And you can't live in disobedience and no power and victory in this new covenant. Amen. Now I do want to say this. I've been walking long enough with God to know that making right choices isn't always easy. And there will be times we don't do it perfectly. I mean, nowhere in the Bible do you find a saint who's always perfectly making right choices. But I have learned that the Holy Spirit trains His people to make right choices. He trains us. As the children of God, we need to be trained. And it's in the trials and it's in the testings of life that God puts before us and God leads us in. The trials and testings of life that God trains us to make good choices and to make wise choices. And He doesn't just train us to make good choices, but He trains us. How? Not in the strength of flesh, but in the power of the Holy Ghost to make good choices and to make right choices. It's a training that the Lord does in our life. And listen, if your heart is truly set upon the Lord and you desire to truly honor and glorify Him, God's not going to let you get away with bad choices. He's not. If we're making bad choices, God's going to come and he's going to bring his loving correction and he's going to bring his loving reproof when he needs to bring reproof. And it's part of our training in making good choices. You know, Abraham is a perfect example. On his journey to becoming a great man of faith, there were times in Abraham's life where fear got a hold of his heart and he made bad choices. Fear was the element behind some of his bad choices. But what you see time and time again, God intervened in his life and he became a man that learned to trust God with his choices. No matter how difficult and how tough they were, he learned how to trust God with his choices. And beloved, that's what God is training us to do. God is training us to be a people who make good choices, who make right choices, who make godly choices, and he's training us to trust him with our choices. Amen. Now, when we are a people that honor God with good choices, God honors us with a supernatural life. Amen. I'm telling you, when we walk before God with an obedient heart, making the choices that honor him, doing what is the right thing when we know it is the right thing, making good choices that honor God, God honors us with a supernatural life. You see, in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we see three supernatural things going on in King Asa's kingdom. We see supernatural seeking, we see supernatural building, and we see supernatural victory. And I just want to briefly look at these three things. Go with me to verse 4, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 4. It says, and King Asa commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. I'm emphasizing there, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God. And beloved, when you read this story, you see that this one man, this one king under the anointing of the Holy Spirit brought a whole nation into a place of seeking God. It was a whole nation that began to seek after the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. That is supernatural. And beloved, I want you to understand, in this new covenant that we are in, seeking after the Lord is as supernatural as you can get. We need to understand that. When we have a heart to seek after God, and we're seeking after the Lord, that is as supernatural as you can get. Why do I say that? Because, beloved, only the Holy Spirit can breathe life into this word and bring you heart to heart with God. Only the Holy Spirit can breathe life into this word and bring you into a living encounter with God. You see, beloved, that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we are a people who read his word, the Holy Spirit breathes life into this word and he brings us heart to heart with God. He brings you into a living encounter with God. You know, I like what Henry Blackaby said. He said, Scripture is not a concept. This is not a concept. Scripture is a person. When you stand before the Word of God, you are standing face to face with God. The moment you choose to read His Word, you choose to come into His presence face to face. And I think that's pretty powerful. It's so supernatural. When we make the choice to go into our closets, or to go into our secret place and open this word, we are making the choice to get face to face and heart to heart with God. That's as supernatural as you can get. Beloved, listen. Listen. When God breathes life into this word, and this word speaks to our heart, we just had a Moses at the burning bush experience. Listen, when we're in this word and God breathes life in this word and he speaks to our heart, we just had an encounter with God that's just as living and just as powerful as that moment Moses was standing at the burning bush listening to the word of God. It is a supernatural life, beloved. Amen. When you're walking in right choices and in obedient choices, you begin to experience the life that is in seeking after God. I'm telling you, there is such life in having a heart to seek after God. Hebrews 11 says, God is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. If you look up that word rewarder in the original language, it means revealer. God is a revealer to those who diligently seek Him. What does He reveal? Himself. Beloved, the greatest reward a seeking heart can have is a continual revelation, living revelation of God in their life. Amen. Supernatural. Look with me at verse 6 and 7. Talking about King Asa. It says, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. So here we see King Asa in the strength of God beginning to build up the kingdom of Israel. He has a God-given discernment in his life that God has given us rest. And one of the purposes He has given us rest is because it's time to build. It's time to build up the nation of Israel. So what you see is a supernatural building going on through this man's life. And beloved, listen, we all know the truth that I'm getting at this morning. And that's simply this, that God is building something deep in each of our lives. He's building something deep in each of our hearts, that we are becoming more and more Christ-like. We are taking on more and more the character of the nature of Christ, because God is doing a good work in our life. Be confident. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it. That means in your good days and in your bad days, it doesn't matter. God is doing something deep in our life. He's building something deep in our life. You know, some time ago, I took the men in our Tuesday night Bible study. I took the men through the course, The Man God Uses, written by Henry Blackaby. And Brother Blackaby is a man who's walked many years with God. He's a man who's very seasoned in God. He knows the heart and ways of God. The very ways of God are ingrained in this man's fabric, his character. And when you hear this man speak, one of the first things that comes to your mind is this man knows God. He's not speaking out of head knowledge. The ways of God are ingrained in him. And he just speaks out of his heart the ways of God. And what I really love about this course is in the very first chapter, he brought out this truth. And it's simply this. God building in your life has everything to do with where you have set your heart. It's a powerful truth. He's saying if God is truly going to build deep into our lives, if God is truly going to do a deep work in our lives, then our heart must be set upon the Lord. It has everything. In other words, he was saying if God is going to do something deep in our life, then the Lord really has to be first place in our heart. He has to be first place in our life. You see, a complacent heart is like stagnant water. Nothing will grow in stagnant water. A heart of apathy, a heart of complacency, a heart that's really indifferent about God and the things of God, it's impossible for that kind of heart to really go deep in the things of God. You have to set your heart upon the Lord. But beloved, here's what we have to understand. Setting our heart upon the Lord is a choice that we make. God doesn't make that choice for us. Truly making God first place in our life has to be a choice that we make. God's not going to make that choice for us. But when we truly set our hearts upon the Lord, God does something deep in our life. He does something deep in our life. And beloved, can I say this? The church pew bears that truth out. The church pew bears it out. Let me ask you this question. What is the difference between a Christian who's been saved 20 years and their life is just animating, radiating with the fruit of the Spirit from a Christian who's been saved 20 years and barely has any fruit at all? What's the difference between the two? The difference is where they have set their heart. One has truly set their heart upon God. One has truly made Jesus first place. First place. The other has not. Beloved, again, when we set our hearts upon the Lord, God builds something deep in our life, but it's a choice that we have to make. The choice that we have to make. And I thank God by the power of the Holy Spirit. In my life, I've chosen to make Him first place. And there's a confidence in me that He's doing something deep in my life. But it's a choice that has to be made. Where are we going to set our hearts? Amen. I want to show you something. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 7. Put your marker in 2 Chronicles 14 because we're going to come back for one more. But go with me to Nehemiah chapter 7. Just a little truth the Lord dropped in my heart. I like it. I think it's a pretty cool truth. I think it's pretty cool. Now, when you have Nehemiah chapter 7, look up at me a minute. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord says to His people, I don't want you cold, and I don't want you lukewarm. I want you hot. He's talking about the condition of the heart. That's what He's talking about. He's saying, I don't want you cold. I don't want you lukewarm. I want you hot. I want your heart to be hot. Now, what does it mean to have a hot heart? Well, it simply means you have a heart that's sincere. Everybody with me, you have a heart that's sincere. It means your intimacy with God is sincere. It means your love for God is sincere. It means when in worship time, when we're singing songs and we look up at God and we say, God, I love you and you're first place in my life. It's not just words. It's a reality of the heart. I truly made Him first place in my life. That's what it means to have a hot heart. My love is sincere. My intimacy is sincere. My devotion is sincere. My commitment is sincere. I'm passionate about the God of things. My passionate about God and the things of God, and it's sincere. That's what it means to have a hot heart. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 3. This is Nehemiah. They're building the walls. They're building those Jerusalem walls. Verse 3 says, And Nehemiah said unto them, Let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. There's that word hot again. Don't let the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. In other words, this is what Nehemiah is saying. Listen, we have an enemy outside our walls that are watching us. And so only when the sun is high in the sky and it's hot, then I want you to open the gates. Why? Because when the sun is high and hot, then you have a clear view of the land and you can see where the enemy's at. So he tells them, only when the sun is at its hottest, you open those gates. So I was really thinking about that. And the thought that came to my mind is simply this. Well, listen, if you have an enemy outside, why even open the gates at all? Was there really a reason to open the gates? And the answer is there was a very important reason to open the gates. Why? Because that's where the resources were going to come from. You see, remember Nehemiah chapter 1, God says, I'm going to send, the king said, I'm going to send you resources and you're going to be able to use those resources and build. So they had to open the gate so the resources could come in so they could begin to build something. And you know what? In that, God spoke to me. God spoke something to me. And this is what he spoke to me. He said, Tim, when your heart is hot, when your heart is truly hot, in other words, when your heart is truly set upon the Lord, that's when all the resources of God that are within you, that's when they really begin to stir up and build in your life. Beloved, there's something about having a hot heart. There's something about having a consecrated, a heart consecrated to God that stirs up the resources of God in your life to build something deep in our life. Beloved, I want to say it again. Listen. Listen. There's things that a heart set upon God can do in a life that complacency can't do in a life. When your heart is complacent, when your heart is just in a place of indifference toward God and the things of God, the resources of God really can't build in your life. It takes a heart that is hot. It takes a heart that is truly set upon the Lord. That's what it takes. But again, beloved, it all comes down to choice. We have to choose to make God first place in our life. We have to choose to keep complacency out of our life. We have to choose to give God the right to be a watchman over our heart. So when He sees things slipping into our hearts, He has our permission to deal with these things. We have to make that choice. It all comes down to choice. Beloved, if this new covenant is going to do in our hearts what God intends for it to do in our hearts, which is build something deep in our life, it has everything to do with making the choice, where is my heart? Where is my heart at? Amen. Go with me back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So we see King Asa walked in right choices. He knew what was right, and he did what was right. And God really honored him with a supernatural life. Let's look at our third one. Look with me at verse 9. It says, "And there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Marishah. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array." Verse 11. "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee and in thy name. We go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Beloved, what a supernatural victory. That is such a supernatural victory. Giving this kingdom victory over an enemy that was twice as strong as it was. And beloved, what I want us to understand is in our own lives, there are so many things God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to know victory. He wants us to know freedom. He wants us to know transformation. Beloved, I truly believe with all my heart, the Christian walk is truly about seeing victory after victory after victory in your life. Or victory after victory after victory in your ministry. Why? Because God is a God of victory. I believe Joshua's calling is our calling. Keep taking ground. Keep taking ground. Keep taking ground. Don't become comfortable with what you have. I've got more ground for you to take. Keep walking in trust. Keep walking in obedience. There's always more ground for you to have. The walk with God is a walk of victory. I believe as God, as Christians, we should be expectant. We should be excited. We should be expectant because we're going to see God do things in our lives that we could never do in our own strength. Victory. Beloved, I can look over the spiritual path that I have been walking with God. I can look over the spiritual path that I've been walking with God, and upon that pathway floor, I see that pathway floor covered with broken yokes. Yokes God has broken over my life. I can look over that spiritual path and see in the spirit realm, I can see yokes of fear that have been broken. I can see yokes of oppression that have been broken. I can see yokes that captivated my mind with the lies of the enemy that have been broken. Why? Because the strength of God is ever increasing in my life, breaking yokes. Continually going deeper and deeper in places of freedom with God. And that's a reality in everyone's life. Listen, if you are a born again Christian, that is as natural as breathing. The strength of God ever increasing in your life and breaking yokes and breaking yokes and breaking yokes. Amen. But here's what I want us to understand. You can't separate walking in victory from making right spirit-led choices. We can talk about being victorious. We can talk about being triumphant. But if we are in the habit of walking in disobedience, there will be very little victory in our life. Very little victory. Sorry, but we can't separate victory from obedience. Beloved, when the Holy Spirit took residence in our life, He then became the power to believe God. No one is ever going to tell me I can't believe God. When God speaks something, no matter how impossible it is, if He spoke it, I can believe Him. Because the Holy Spirit empowers me to believe Him. But listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't only empower me to believe Him. He empowers me to trust Him. And He empowers me to obey Him. I can obey the leading of the Spirit of God in my life. And that's new covenant responsibility. My position is secure in Him. My acceptance is secure in Him. My salvation is secure in Him. But I do have a responsibility in this new covenant way. And that is this: if you love me, obey me. And beloved, when we make the choice to live a life of obedience, faith and obedience, then this walk with God becomes supernatural. Amen. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Stand with me with your Bibles this morning. I want you to go with me to Psalm 143. We're going to take our altar call from Psalm 143. Look with me at verse 10. David writes, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Teach me to do thy will. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Beloved, my altar call is simply going to be this: Lord, teach me to make right choices. Teach me to make wise choices. Lord, teach me your ways and put a strength in me to make the choices that are consistent with your ways. Whenever I'm confronted by a choice and I know what the right thing to do is, Lord, strengthen me to make the choices that are consistent with your ways. Lord, I understand new covenant is not about having a mindset that lightly esteems disobedience. No. I understand the new covenant is about a life in me that's leading me and empowered me to make obedient choices, to make right choices. And God, I'm asking you this morning, Lord, would you train me? Would you train me? This is all about training. Lord, would you train me to trust your choices for my life? Would you train me to make right choices? Would you train me to make obedient choices? Lord, would you train me? And God, as I honor you with good choices, you will honor me with a supernatural life. God, I desire that.